Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll look into a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with the leak of documents from the Obama administration's secret free trade negotiations for the Trans-Pacific Partnership Trade Pact, obtained by Lori Wallach, the founder and director of Public Citizens Global Trade Watch. She joins us to discuss the explosive contents of this secret trade agreement under negotiation that are diametrically opposed to Obama's and the Democrats' 2008 campaign promises. Then we'll go to Prague in the Czech Republic and speak with economist James Galbraith about the growing gloom in the Eurozone, with Greece in default and Spain, after receiving a cash infusion, finding its borrowing costs have increased, and now Italy facing a hostile bond market and questions from its northern neighbors, all indicating that the Band-Aid approach to this ongoing two-year crisis is not working. Then finally, we'll look into an infographic report from the Center for American Progress indicating that the Latino vote is a sleeping giant that, if awakened, will determine the outcome of the 2012 elections. The head of the team that produced this report, Angela Kelly, the Vice President for Immigration Policy and Advocacy at the Center for American Progress, joins us. Joining us now is Lori Wallach, who's the founder and director of Global Trade Watch, a division of the nonprofit watchdog group Public Citizen. Lori Wallach is an expert on the operations and outcomes of trade policies such as NAFTA, WTO, and CAFTA. She works closely with Congress, scholars, and activists in the U.S. and developing countries to foster the growing debate about implications of different models of globalization on jobs, offshoring, wages, the environment, public health and food safety, equality and social justice, and democratically accountable governance. Today, Public Citizen posted leaked documents from the Obama administration's free trade negotiations for the Trans-Pacific Partnership Trade Pact. Welcome to Background Briefing, Lori Wallach.
Thank you very much.
And these documents give us a window into the negotiations that have been going on for this Trans-Pacific Trade Pact that both the Obama administration and Mitt Romney in this election year are both in favor of. But it seems to be, from what I've learned from the leak that you've provided the public with, Lori Wallach, that this what's revealed runs contrary to the campaign promises issued by Obama and the Democratic Party during the 2008 campaign. Specifically, I just quote, "We will not negotiate bilateral trade agreements that stop the government from protecting the environment, food safety, or health of its citizens, give greater rights to foreign investors than to U.S. investors, require the privatization of our vital public services, or prevent developing country governments from adopting humanitarian licensing policies to improve access to life-saving medications." Tell me about how much what you've revealed is not in line with that promise.
Well, these Trans-Pacific Partnership negotiations have been going on for almost 3 years in conditions of extreme secrecy. And what we've seen with this text that's leaked, and several that leaked at the end of last year, is really an indication of why they're being so sneaky. Because if the public had any idea of what they were doing, we wouldn't put up with it, to say nothing of Congress. Basically, this agreement is exactly the opposite of that pledge. For instance, the document that has leaked today is the investment chapter. It explicitly would require signatory governments, including the U.S., to give preferential treatment to foreign investors, including compensation from our tax dollars, for the cost of having to comply with the normal land use, environmental, health, other regulations that every company here has to meet. It's the mindset, actually, of the U.S. negotiators helping the big U.S. companies with their offshore operations without really thinking about the boomerang effect of foreign companies attacking our laws, as well as the outrageousness of our companies being allowed to attack other countries' laws. With respect to medicines, that's the leak that happened several months ago. That chapter on intellectual property actually rolls back initial reforms in that regard that President Bush made. So when you look at this agreement, there have been 600 official U.S. corporate advisors. Congress, the press, and the public have been locked out. And the result is an extremely lopsided corporate government agreement that really has only a little bit to do about trade. That's the brand. But it would implement a whole set of different policies, jacking up medicine prices, undermining domestic financial regulation, environmental regulation. That's just totally unacceptable and, by the way, contradicts Obama's current domestic agenda.
So these 600 corporate advisors, they have access, they've had access all along to these documents that you've just gotten a window into.
The corporate advisors are security cleared, and the U.S. has increasingly classified these trade documents. Keep in mind, these are not the nuclear codes. These are rules about limiting government regulation that some corporations want. The cleared advisors, 600 corporations, 15 environmental labor representatives, have access to all the U.S. proposals, to the process, and to some of the combined texts. What leaked today is a composite text that's the actual 90% completed text for this agreement. So it shows what the U.S. has agreed to, but all the other countries as well, and it's extremely troubling. But yes, while the public who's going to live with the results, and I might add Congress, who's supposed to be in charge of making these policies, has been locked out, the corporate advisors have been in. The secrecy is so bad that the senator, Ron Wyden, a free trader from Oregon, who is the chairman of the Senate Trade Committee that has specific jurisdiction over TPP, has been denied access to these texts. Even the text of what the U.S. submitted as our positions in the negotiations, as has his staff. And he was so outraged at the very end of May, he submitted legislation demanding access, which has not yet moved. He's the chairman in charge of the committee that's supposed to be overseeing this.
Again, I'm speaking with Laurie Wallach, who's the founder and director of the Global Trade Watch, a division of the nonprofit watchdog group Public Citizen. And she received these leaked documents, which have been posted today by Public Citizen, of the Obama administration's free trade negotiations for the Trans-Pacific Trade Pact. Of course, what's I find interesting about the reaction to it, well, first of all, it'd be interesting to know who the leaker is. Obviously, it's somebody that felt the public and the Congress needed to know. Well, that's a fair assumption, right?
That could be an assumption.
Yeah. So, but isn't there something interesting about this, Laurie Wallach, in the sense that there is a kind of political coalition here that spans the left and the right that are concerned about this? There are the sort of Ron Paul conservative sovereignty fundamentalists, if you will, and progressive activists. This is something that I see as being fairly incendiary because it covers such a broad swath of political opinion.
You know, you would expect that to be the case, and the polling certainly shows that majorities of Republicans, independents, and Democrats oppose more agreements based on the NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement model. And from what I've just seen of this text, TPP would be as if NAFTA and the most extended version of NAFTA, the Korea Free Trade Agreement, had a baby, and then they only fed it steroids for a year. That's what we're dealing with now. So you would assume that the conservatives would be up in arms, but the conservatives in Congress actually went along with a couple of these agreements that Bush had negotiated, Obama pushed through, that is not as extreme as this proposal, had some of these elements, such as limiting the use of Buy America procurement or submitting the U.S. to the jurisdiction of certain foreign tribunals to adjudicate cases. So it is a mystery. Perhaps the base of the conservative movement hadn't really caught on to that agreement, and maybe they will hear now about TPP, but it's a mystery how the Republicans in Congress voted, because when those agreements came up last October, the highest percentage of Democrats ever voting against the Democratic president's trade agreement said no, but the smallest percentage of Republicans ever opposed. The Pauls were two of them, but many other very conservative Republicans didn't seem to understand what really these agreements were, that they're not about free trade, but that they are about these tribunals and about basically undermining core principles of federalism, of checks and balances that do have a bipartisan appeal.
But in a word, what these agreements are about is corporatism.
Well, and that gets, you know, everything comes back to Citizens United, I'm afraid, which is to say everything comes back to money and politics. My suspicion of what happened is that the big companies that like these agreements, I mean, this agreement that leaked has all those same rules that were in NAFTA that promote offshoring, that make it much less risky, much easier to relocate U.S. plants, investment money, equipment to a developing country. Vietnam is in this agreement, so the low-cost alternative to China for offshoring. All of those big companies give a boatload of money to the conservatives, to the organizations, the conservative organizations. The Tea Party groups were notably silent on something they certainly could have attacked Obama on, secret tribunals at the World Bank and United Nations giving out U.S. Treasury dollars, sounds like something you would hear from right-wing radio, except they were really quiet. And I suspect it has to do with the money, as well as many very conservative members of Congress. Now, the base across the country, Democratic, Republican, conservative, progressive, independent, we are the ones who can make a difference with this, because just fundamentally, the lunatic proposals that were unearthed when this agreement leaked today are such that they really are uniting. It doesn't matter what part of the political spectrum you're on. You're not going to want some international rules setting in cement one set of law and one set of policy that cannot be changed, but for the agreement of eight other countries that determine things like how expensive our medicines will be, or whether or not we can have food safety inspection, or whether or not we or our local government or our state government can set land use rules, that's even in here, or whether or not we can use our tax dollars to procure goods and services from U.S. companies and replant our tax dollars in our communities to grow our economy. All of those non-trade issues get set, and the agreement requires countries shall conform their domestic laws, regulations, and administrative procedures with those rules. And if the country, either Congress or our state legislators, do not do so, we're subject to these international tribunals. Now, if you heard someone just say that and you didn't look at the text, you might think, I'm a conspiracy theorist or a little paranoid, which is why I invite everyone to look at the text, because this is really a real deal.
How do they get the text, Lori?
If you go to our website, which is tradewatch.org, you can click on a link that will take you to the text, but more importantly, perhaps, is a section-by-section guided tour. We have an analysis that lists each provision and what it means, translated out of the technical language, and then it links back to other sources so you can double-check our work.
So, Lori Wallach, this international tribunal, this is not new. This is already in place because in early June, a tribunal at the World Bank agreed to hear a case involving foreign investment standards, similar to what you're talking about here with this Trans-Pacific Partnership. The El Salvador banned cyanide-based gold mining, largely due to objections from the Catholic Church and environmental activists. And the World Bank is now about to rule, and it could rule against El Salvador and overturn the nation's domestic laws at the behest of a foreign corporation. I don't know if it's a mining corporation. I think it's Canadian, but that's beside the point. I mean, there's an example. What I find interesting about the leak that you've revealed today from these trade negotiations is that Australia has refused to submit to the jurisdictions of these investor state private corporation enforcement foreign tribunals.
But here's what's different in this proposal. Yes, you are right that CAFTA and NAFTA have a version of this, but this is the most grandiose version. This version would allow disputes over procurement contracts, contracts with governments and foreign investors to run utilities, even concessions for foreign investors and companies to have access to Western lands for mining or for grazing or for timber. All of that would now go to the tribunal. It's not just the old NAFTA stuff. It's much more expansive. It's shifting much more of our decision-making out of accountable open venues, and it is changing the balance between government and domestic companies versus foreign investors in a transformational way, even compared to the damage in that regard done by NAFTA. So yes, there has been some of this. This is a significant expansion of it. And meanwhile, Obama as a candidate explicitly promised, as you noted, that he would ensure trade agreements gave no greater rights to foreign investors, that our trade agreements wouldn't undermine U.S. regulatory and environmental policy. And this is the antithesis of it. Now, the only good news is we sometimes talk about the Dracula strategy. When something has been so secret and is so extreme, when it's dragged out into the sunshine, if the public gets involved and demands that this is unacceptable, these agreements in the past have been stopped. The last really big one was a regional one in Latin America, and because the public from the Arctic to the Antarctic, basically, it was all the Americas, got up in arms about these kind of crazy proposals, the agreement was stopped. But if we're quiet about it, if we don't continue to dig, if we don't demand the whole agreement's released, we could literally see this kind of imposition of corporate rule via so-called trade agreement through the Trans-Pacific Partnership.
And, of course, corporations have the ability or the advantage that they're both domestic and multinational, and that's why they, for example, don't pay a lot of taxes. They move their profits offshore to their offshore affiliates. So they're already wired, aren't they, to avoid sovereignty?
Well, this gets to your point about Australia. What's with Australia? Why are we signing ourselves up to these dreadful tribunals and Australia isn't? And your point about transnational companies is the fine point of that story. Australia has now been sued by Philip Morris, tobacco giant, who found one of its subsidiaries in Hong Kong, which had standing under a different agreement, to use the foreign tribunals to attack Australia's what's called plain packaging rule on tobacco. It's a very effective regime of basically trying to make tobacco sales less appealing, particularly to young people. And Australia has this law that applies to domestic brands, to imported brands. You just can't glitz it up on the tobacco. And Philip Morris has dragged Australia to one of these tribunals, claiming that their investor rights, their investment in building their copyright, their branding, their marketing, their packaging, has been taken away by this law. Now, no discrimination, reasonable science-based law being attacked. Australia basically had had it. And there have been a variety of these kinds of threats increasingly against health laws, against environmental laws, against financial regulations, so that, for instance, India has announced it will renegotiate its existing agreements that have this private corporate enforcement, and it will not sign any future agreements with them. Brazil has refused to sign a single one of these kinds of agreements. Increasingly, countries are saying no. That makes it even more disgraceful that this leaked text shows the U.S. is the lead pusher of this regime. And this Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement could well be the last agreement we negotiate, so getting it right is really important. The reason I say that is they intend to have this agreement stay open for any new country to join. So last month, the trade representative, Ron Kirk, said nothing would make him happier than if China joined this agreement. So we really need to get the rules right. We do not want this tribunal system for the whole world. It would set up literally a two-track system of justice, where systematically, officially, formally, corporations are privileged over all the rest of us.
Again, I'm speaking with Laurie Wallach, who's the founder and director of Global Trade Watch, a division of the nonprofit watchdog group Public Citizen. And today, Public Citizen posted leaked documents from the Obama administration's free trade negotiations for the Trans-Pacific Partnership Trade Pact. And Ron Kirk, of course, is the U.S. Trade Representative. And this deal is strongly supported by the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and by Republican candidate Mitt Romney, who has urged the U.S. to finalize the deal as soon as possible. And, of course, the details that have been leaked that Laurie Wallach got hold of are clearly the Obama administration's position on this. What do you know about Ron Kirk and what and this administration? I mean, how vulnerable are they? You would think that they would be vulnerable. First of all, a lot of people on the left of the Democratic Party, the progressives, are pretty disillusioned with the Obama administration, and this leak doesn't help in that. I noticed, for example, that the Secretary of Commerce, who's obviously, his portfolio is related to trade. He had an accident out here in California, and it turned out, he was driving a Lexus, for God's sake. Not exactly a good message for Buy America, you know.
Hey. I hadn't even thought about that angle directly, actually. The thing I think that I would say to people who are saying, what the heck is going on with the Obama administration? What happened to President Obama's commitments to get rid of these problems when he was a candidate? Is President Obama needs to get with his trade negotiators. They have not got the memo, which is to say, ultimately, the buck stops with President Obama. So there is an argument to be made that the trade negotiations, being very secretive and background, have not gotten the full attention of the White House. It's not inconceivable, given the White House is putting enormous amounts of effort and priority into doing several things that these negotiations would explicitly forbid, like expanding Buy America to try and build out our green economy, like trying to lower medicine prices using medicine formularies, which this agreement would subject to challenge by the big pharmaceutical companies, like the Obama administration has been pushing improved financial regulation, except the agreement would explicitly forbid, for instance, bans on risky products and services. A ban is considered a zero quota, which is forbidden, even if you are doing it to domestic and foreign firms. It's just simply forbidden. That's why I say when it's a corporate rule document, I'm not exaggerating. It really is the rules that you would write if you didn't have to actually consider the public and were just writing the rules of the corporation. So with all of these conflicts, I would say the president really needs to get with his trade negotiators and get in with the program. And to the extent he doesn't do so, then it's his responsibility. So we can all agree on a good kind of trade agreement, but this sure as heck isn't it. And if we all want to get involved in airing it out, we can make sure we have the option of not having this locked in as our future. TradeWatch.org, our website, has not only the leaked text and analysis, but, for instance, a very funny video animation where we have taken the Jackson 5 ABC song and made it TPP, and it's the corporate power tool, which we actually have an animated corporate power tool that gives you the picture of what this agreement's really about. It's very short. It's very funny. So get laughing, get angry, and then everyone can take action.
I thank you so much for joining us here today, Laurie Wallach.
Thank you very much.
Again, I've been speaking with Laurie Wallach, who's the founder and director of Global Trade Watch, a division of the nonprofit watchdog group Public Citizen. Wallach is an expert on the operations and outcomes of trade policies such as NAFTA, the WTO, and CAFTA. She works closely with Congress, scholars, and activists in the U.S. and developing countries to foster the growing debate about implications of different models of globalization on jobs, offshoring, wages, the environment, public health and food safety, equality and social justice, and democratically accountable governance. Today, Public Citizen posted leaked documents from the Obama administration's free trade negotiations for the Trans-Pacific Partnership Trade Pact. We're going to take a brief station break and we'll be back and go to Europe to get a sense of the increasing gloom in the Eurozone.
International TV.